Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 5. Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we've just read, and thank you for these verses that people have come up with to show how the Bible says that you're near. We just ask that tonight you'd help us to see something, maybe see the scripture in a little deeper way. Not any new truth, but just better understanding, Lord. There is no new truth. There's only the word of God. Thy word is truth. But help us to understand it better, we pray. Help us to apply it to our hearts better. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, when we look at the Word of God, and we look at this passage of Scripture, you know, it starts out and it says, "Let your conversation." Now, we think of the word conversation in terms of a verbal dialogue, or maybe a written dialogue between one or more parties, between two or more parties, a conversation. All right, we talk about that. But when the Bible talks about a conversation, that word conversation, the original understanding of it was your lifestyle. The way you lived communicates to others. And you know, the passage tells us, I believe it's in the book of Second Corinthians, Paul makes that statement. He says, I mean, there's several places that talk about how our lives are supposed to make a statement. They're part of our witness. But Paul said in this one place, and I'm trying to remember the verse off the top of my head, but he said, "Ye are our epistle known and read of all men." In other words, the way you behave is a testimony. It's part of the way you communicate. Yeah, I believe you're right. But see, that is the picture there. He says, "Let your conversation, your lifestyle, the way you live, let it be without." And we're gonna look at what it's supposed to be without really, really quick here in a minute. But I want you to focus on that word, that conversation, that lifestyle, not just what you say, but what you do, how you think. You know, everything starts on the inside. It doesn't start on the outside. So our conversation encompasses what we think, what we say, and what we do. Sometimes we speak without thinking. Sometimes we speak without revealing what we're thinking. And sometimes we behave different than we think and speak. Those things are supposed to line up in a Christian. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our what? Mind and all our strength. Yeah. Right? So it all fits together, doesn't it? It's our conversation, our lifestyle. Let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. That's kind of an interesting thing. He says, I know there's a whole lot of other things in this chapter, but I just want to look at this one thing. He says, "Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." So when we talk about covetousness, we're talking about an inordinate desire, or a lust, if you will, or a desire that's out of place. You know, there are some things that are not necessarily bad in a general sense, but when they become a specific sense, they can become bad. If, for example, if I look upon a woman to lust after her, I'm coveting a relationship there, I'm desiring something there, I'm wanting to have a something there. That's what lust is. Lust is a desire to have. It's a desire. It's an inordinate desire. And so, and covetousness, when you look at the Ten Commandments, covetousness, and I've talked about this before, but covetousness is really the hub of all of those commandments in the simple fact, Paul said in another place, he said in the book of Romans, he said, I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Right? And we're not supposed to covet anything. But all of those things that are there, all of those things that are there, you know, before you lie, you have to covet something different. You have to desire people not to know the truth, right? That's why we lie. We have to desire people to believe. Covet desires people to believe something that is wrong. When you bear false witness against somebody, you want somebody, you desire somebody to think differently about them and differently about yourself. Sometimes we lie to protect our own reputation, right? We want people to think differently of us. We desire a different reputation than what we deserve. We covet something that we don't deserve, we shouldn't have. When we steal something, we look at something and it's not ours, but we want it, we desire it. So, and I could go down the whole list of you know, thou shalt have no gods before me. When we desire, we desire to make God what, in idolatry, we desire to make God what we want Him to be. Not what the Bible tells us He is. Not what God declares Himself to be. When you have an entire group, a bunch of people who all think they know the Bible and they've all got a different idea about God and none of them will ever read the Bible or even discuss the Bible or talk about the Word of God and talk about what God says about Himself and they won't discuss it and then all they do is criticize what they think the Bible says about God. These are people who simply desire God to be something that He's not, that they want Him to be. That's why man creates God in all different images and ways and things, and people have all these ideas about God that are unscriptural and wrong, because people desire a God that's different than the God of the Bible. All right? And that's the essence of idolatry all the way on. You know, all the way back to the garden when Eve decided for herself what was right and what was wrong. All man had to do was take God's word for it. This is right, this is wrong. Man wasn't ignorant, man chose. So there's the whole picture there. So we can talk about covetousness. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Now that tells me that what I have in my hand I should be content with. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, I've had abundance in my life at times and I've had a lot of times I've had lack of a lot of things. There's been a lot of things that I've wished to do and have not been able to, have not had the means or the ability or whatever it may be. But I'm not the only one. That's all of us, isn't it? And we see some people who have so much more. And sometimes those people are wicked. If you read Psalm 73. Talking about being, he was being foolish by being envious at the prosperity of the wicked. until you understand their end. And, you know, we look at that. So we're to be content with such things as we have. Because, by the way, we're the ones that say that God has his hand in our life, aren't we? And if we're the ones that says God has a hand in our life, then that it means that at the very least, whatever has come our way has been allowed by God, hasn't it? And for whatever purpose, we don't always know the purpose of the plan. We just know that we're supposed to do what we know of God's will where we are. And that's the point. But be content with such things as you have. But he didn't just tell us this in a vacuum. He doesn't tell us this in a vacuum. He doesn't say, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. He didn't just say that in a vacuum. But that's not where the sentence ends. A lot of times we act like that's where the sentence ends. That God just says to us, hey, you let your lifestyle, let your thoughts, your words, your deeds be without covetousness, and you just be content with whatever you got. Period. No. For he hath said, there's a colon there. And he said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we need to understand that wherever we are, Jesus is there with us. We talked about a lot of different verses of Scripture as we were going through before we started the recording this message, and we were singing the song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. We talk about a lot of different verses that talk about how he's with us, how we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that he's a very present help in time of trouble. And I mean, we go down the list of all the things that he said. You know, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we look at all of the different pictures that we have. And we look at the Word of God, and we look at the Scriptures, and we say we have a clear understanding of that. But this life that we're supposed to live, we don't live it by ourselves. He's with us. He's there. And it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Who's going to help you? The Lord. He's my helper. And I will not fear what man should do unto me. And therein is the picture. You say, well, preacher, I know all of this. Well, good. You ought to be a shining example then. I mean, after all, we know it, right? But the devil, see, that's one of the things that the devil wants us to do. The devil is good at only quoting part of the Scripture. And whenever you get to thinking in terms of part of the Scripture, you know you've been wrongly influenced somewhere. Now I want you to think about that. Do you believe that the Lord is with you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's going to take care of your needs? Do you believe He's going to help you when it comes to man? Now, I was talking to a fella, and we were talking about the training that we had to take at work, and he's worked for one company and I worked for another company. And they have this new, what they call harassment training. And it's basically diversity training and all this type of stuff like that. They show all these examples of bigotry and harassment and everything like that. and I could go in great detail. But you know, one of the things that they're talking about being inclusive in your life. And they want everybody to be inclusive. And this training basically that they're pushing is not just talking about being tolerant of other people's views. It's basically saying, you know, you don't just need to be tolerant of these people at work and be polite and decent and kind to folks at work. They're actually saying in this training that I had to take that you're supposed to take these people that are that have all these divergent views, and they need to be a part of your life outside of work to be truly inclusive. In other words, they don't want you to just work with people and get along with folks and they want you to incorporate everything they do into your life and everything like that. So we were talking about that, and I said, well, if they begin to try to require this at work, I said, I've already thought about it. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, well, it's real simple. I'm just going to send everybody a letter, and I'm going to invite them all to church, and I'm going to tell them all this is what we believe in our church, and I'm going to give them the gospel, and I'm going to tell everybody's welcome, and you're welcome at any time. I mean, because if they wanted to include me, said, hey, let's go out to the bar. And I said, well, I appreciate you asking, but no thank you. I don't drink, and I really don't want to go to a place like that. I don't frequent places like that. But I do appreciate you asking. Do appreciate you thinking about me or something like that. I mean, I can be nice and be polite about it. But same thing. But, you know, if they can invite me to the bar or to the baseball game or this or that or whatever, or invite me over, I can sure enough invite them to come to church. If you're ever in town, just come see me and give them all the gospel. I mean, I'm being inclusive, right? And the Bible tells me to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, doesn't it? So, that's the idea. So, best I can. Now, I know that would start an uproar, but that's going to be my defense. It's like, you told me to be inclusive. You told me to include these people. I mean, this is the most major part of my life. I'm a Christian. I'm just trying to include them. I didn't say anything. I just told them they're all welcome. And just told them what we believe so they can make an informed decision whether they want to be part of it. I mean, isn't that common sense? Now, I'm sure a lot of people would hem and haw and fuss about that, but we got to do something, right? So you say, what are you going to do about the fallout of that? It's not my business. My business is just to obey God. I'm not supposed to worry about whether a man likes me or not. I'm supposed to worry about whether God likes me or not. Amen. So, and be decent, be kind. As much as lieth in you, you know, we're supposed to provide things honest in the sight of all men. It would be dishonest for me to sit there and pretend like my Christian life was of no consequence in my life. That would be dishonest. And that would be desiring man's good opinion and coveting man's good opinion when I ought to desire God's good opinion. And so you see what I'm saying? I'm just giving you an example of something we discussed. Now, I don't know if it's ever going to come to that or not. I have no idea. But I've already thought it out. And it's based upon the fact that I know that the Lord's with me. Amen. And I know He's going to take care of me. And I'm only supposed to desire that which is lawful for me and good for me. I'm not to covet things that are not mine, not right. He said, well, how do you know? Does that mean it's wrong to have any desires? No, it's not wrong to have any desires. It's not wrong to have desires as long as they're not wicked desires. It's not wrong to desire good things. It's not wrong to do all of that type of stuff. But if your desire prevents you from being content and thankful to God for what you have, then that's covetousness, isn't it? Real easy to figure out. But this is what we're supposed to be. This is what we're supposed to do. And so often it's very easy to fail in that regard. So I just wanted to share that with you tonight. I want you to think about that. You know, we talk about Jesus being near. Jesus being a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And all the things that He says about us. And we look at this passage of Scripture. All these things, the life that we're supposed to live, and this life of not being covetousness and being content. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And the reason why we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to worry, and we don't have to fret ourselves over all this stuff is because He's with us. He's with us. Do you know when I walk out that door, I walk amongst a portion of 7 billion people. And the majority of that 7 billion people cannot say that the Lord Jesus Christ is with them, is near. What a great privilege. It's a pity we don't see it that way sometimes. Well, when we don't, it's time to repent, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the message today. Father, help us, we pray, to just pay attention to the Word of God, to read it all the way through, to read to the end of the verse, an end of the chapter, an end of the book, an end of the Word of God. Lord, just help us to read it all the way through and believe it so that we might live a life and a lifestyle without covetousness, one of contentment, thankfulness, one that of knowing that You are with us at all times, that You never leave us nor forsake us. So we can boldly say that You're our helper. We don't have to fear what man will do unto us. Lord, there's ways to do the right thing and to be godly in all things. Help us, we pray, to see that clearly. And Lord, please forgive us when we fail You in that regard. We're just so thankful of all You've given and provided. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.